Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened. Welcome back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Big old episode of NFL Draft Talk. You got to be prepared because, like Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan before you get punched in the face.
So you got that one right.
Yeah, I know. I got that one. So you got to know how to take a punch is where I'm getting at. And how to get your lights knocked out. Get clocked. You ever been in a fight?
Not since, like, you know, middle school.
You want to know something? I've never been in a real fight.
Like a real fight?
No. It's not for lack of trying. Never.
Hey, you scare most people off with your size, so that's probably
big
why.
Guy. But I mean, does that surprise you at all? I've never been in like a full blown fist fight.
The closest I got was like 10 years ago too.
But you didn't get in one, did you?
No, I didn't. Probably because there was this chick there, and she was like, "No, he's just drunk. Don't do it." Because we were at the gas station. This guy's taking forever, and I was hammered. But I was like, "Dude, hurry it up." And he's like, "What do you say to me?" I'm like, "You're deaf and dumb." And it was just one of those where it just wasn't good. So, yeah. And I don't know what I was doing. Like, why was I doing that? I was just being a dick for no reason.
So zero share. We have zero shares of actual, like, full-on fights.
No, I think you know, most people haven't gotten in real fights anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a badge of honor. But yeah, I feel like it's like there's not a ton of middle ground. Like, there's some people that have been like, "Oh, I've been in like three or four." It's usually the guy that's like, "Yeah, I fight all the time. We go out to the bar, someone mouths off, I get in a fight." Or it's someone that's like, "Nah, they push around," or something like that. And I've had people swing at me. I had friends swing at me. You know, we had our psychotic friend who, you know, with the 151 and throwing up on draft day, swing at me during a football game, just randomly. Worst swing ever. So we've had that happen, but not like, you know, to the ground. Boom, 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 that type of stuff.
Nope, hasn't happened for me either. I actually heard Joe Rogan talking about, like, he got into, like, it wasn't like a real fight in high school, but it was like the reason why he went into martial arts is some kid, like, threw him down in a headlock and, like, could have pummeled his face in, and the kid just stopped, and he was like, "I had no idea what to do there," and that's why he went and did martial arts and all that stuff.
As you get older, do you feel the, like, "I'm going to fight" more happen, or
no.
You have it kind of go away?
No. Yeah. No, I'm 35. I'm too old to be fighting in bars. Like, it's just not going to happen. I don't think.
I like to fight.
Someone
like
would
that.
Have to, like, roll up and punch me for me to, you know. I mean, I could probably antagonize somebody into it. I'm pretty good at it.
Are you telling me I should just roll up and punch you? Are you giving me an opportunity?
If you want to get in a fight, then yeah, you would have to start.
Big Whoop, want to fight about it?
Big Whoop, want to fight about it?
Okay. We should get like a maybe like a sanctioned boxing match.
By the way, whatever happened with that rough and rowdy with Gay Pat versus the gay hating guy?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, with the barstool stuff. By the way, apparently the cop won. So remember, he lost his job.
Oh, yeah, because he lost his job because he's fighting the skateboarder.
Yeah, well, apparently there was also a firefighter in there, and someone was like, "Well, the next one, it's got to be the cop versus the firefighter."
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." I mean, by the way, I just had an incident with a cop not too recently, which had it gone a different way, I'd have been rooting for the firefighter. But
but go cops.
It was Pat versus this, like, you know, inbred, like, "I hate everybody," and whatnot, and he beat the living crap out of the hater guy.
Did he really?
Yeah, but he totally cheated. Like, it's supposed to be a boxing thing, and he was, like, kicking and put him in a headlock and was taunting him, but beat the living crap out of him.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's good. How you like him now, Fish? You ain't got no head, because I cut it off.
Don't be a hateful, bigot idiot. So
no, don't do that. But what you should do is listen to In This League. Over on the podcast side, check out the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. Last week, we had Sigmund Bloom, John Lobb. We did a live mock draft. Next week, we've got another one of our draft forum episodes. One of the guests, Matt Harmon, is going to be joining us from Yahoo Sports. Maybe we'll ask him, hey, Matt, how do you feel about Josh Gordon?
Well, he's the wide receiver guy. We should absolutely.
He does reception perception. We 1,000% will ask him about that. There you go. There's a tease. We're going to ask Matt Harmon about Josh Gordon next week, and you're going to want to be tuned in because also that episode will release right before draft weekend next week.
And we should ask him, has he gotten Brad Evans to calm down on Josh Gordon at all?
What was that like to move? Because he left the NFL Network and went over to work on Yahoo, and immediately you're now inundated with Brad Evans and Josh Gordon being 10 overall.
That's Brad Evans got a lot of energy. I love it.
So, I actually like Brad. He's like a wiry guy. Even though, want to know what? Little tip.
Well, what's better? I mean, is it like being excited about talking about something or being like Eeyore? You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
Like, I'd rather have a guy be excited about
I
it.
I will say, though, I've reached out to him and Matthew Berry before through emails, and Brad Evans, little stiff arm, but Matthew Berry, not a stiff arm. I've chatted with Matthew Berry before. He's very accommodating. So there's that for you. Before we left the last hour, I had just brought up this random question of how many running backs who start week one do you think will finish the season as the lead back on their team? Now, I don't want to go through every single team. I know you do. I think I've got a percentage in mind. Are there a few teams that you think are locks for this?
Well, I think Seattle is 100% because I think Penny ends with that job. You would agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Tampa would be another one. Barber will start, but I think this is Ronald Jones.
This one's a possibility. Detroit, between Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount, and apparently they're keeping Ameer Abdullah because I said on our show, I'm like, well, he's not going to play special teams, but he is because they're going to have him return kicks and punts. That's how he's going to make his production there, apparently.
When he returns a touchdown one game, everybody tweet Bogman. Everybody tweet Bogman.
I still like Ameer Abdullah. I don't know that he's going to get a fair shake in Detroit.
You've been calling for his head for like 4 months.
Well, he made me look like an idiot his rookie year just because he's not that good. Green Bay is another situation that could wind up being
I don't think that's a definitive, though. I'm not going to count that one.
Like, to be honest, I don't know if Green Bay counts because do they really have a starter? Like, Aaron Jones is suspended the first two games. Jamal Williams is banged up with the ankle now.
And I'm not talking, by the way, like, oh, this guy finished with 600 yards over the 500 yards. Like, I'm not talking about that.
No. The guy that has the most carries is not week 17 is not the guy that had the most carries.
Yeah, it's like a prominent.
The most carries the last 4 weeks.
It's a prominent change from week one, the week one starter. And it, like, Houston would be one of those where I think it's a little too trendy, but we all believe Lamar Miller starts the season. But once Deontay Foreman becomes healthy, that he's going to run away and start to be the primary back.
Yeah, because I think we were starting to see that last year before he had the injury, of course. Denver, do you think maybe? Or do you think Freeman just takes that job and runs with
it? Well, it would qualify if Booker starts.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Like, if Booker starts, then I think that's a hell yes definitive.
And then, to be honest, like, Baltimore, with the ones we already mentioned, Baltimore, Miami, New England. Like, those ones I could all see wind up. I could see Kenneth Dixon carrying the ball more down the stretch.
Here's what I think.
I could see Kalen Ballage or Frank Gore.
I think it could sit in, I think it's like a 30% range.
I think that's probably close to normal, right?
Yeah, but I think it could be some names we don't, like, I think, even though I just said the Lamar Miller thing, at the same time, the guy could play all 16, and it could just never change. A lot of people have presumed that a Corey Clement change could happen over Jay Ajayi. That may never happen. We may get some ones that you know, maybe we didn't necessarily all 100% see, you know, what if.
And there will be some just because of injuries.
Yeah, injuries could play a role in it. But, like, you know, we look at guys like Rex Burkhead and Sonny Michel, but, you know, James White is getting that push right now. Very popular late round pick that you guys should consider. A guy like James White could run away with stuff. You know what?
White has looked good in the preseason.
If Nick Chubb takes over shortly? We talk about Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb takes over. I think there's an easy turnover. What does it mean at the end of the day? It's the definitiveness of picks. It's like we go in and we say, okay, I'm going to take these guys, you know, rounds 1 through 3. But guess what? I know I'm safe. It's kind of the depth conversation because I know I can get these group of guys down here. When you're trying to bank on a selective group to save your team to make a strategy, make your hat, that type of thing, Bogman. I think you're going to open yourself up to, you're going to be susceptible to some roster problems that could haunt you unless you get lucky.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. You know, the turnover is big and there's not a whole lot we can do about it when we're drafting, of course.
Except draft as many of these damn guys as you possibly can.
And handcuff.
Yeah, it's true. We've really been handcuff talking the last couple weeks over on all of our shows. I feel like we're progressively moving into handcuff guys.
It in a couple spots. I've had a couple drafts where I've taken Ronald Jones, and then a couple rounds later, I'll take Peyton Barber because I know week one, Peyton Barber is the guy I'm going to want to start.
Better handcuff your Isaiah Crowell with Powell.
I'm never going to do that ever.
You sure?
I also did it in, I'm in a roto. Did I tell you I got talked in the roto league?
Gross.
Yeah.
Who's in there? Who's in it?
Joe is in there. It's a bunch of the Fantrax guys, Matt Williams, a lot of those guys. So,
Nerds.
It's me and a bunch of crybabies, of course, because it's roto. But I wound up taking Corey Clement and Jay Ajayi. So,
Okay. So you're in there. I mean, I've done that one too, the Ajayi and Clement one. That's been a big popular one. I do think there's something to it. There's something that we can get through with the handcuffing. The bigger leagues, this is really tough. I've noticed this has been a lot more tolerable in 12-man leagues. 12-man leagues, you can take some of your best wide receivers, and then if you want to play the stock up game, especially if it's PPR, you can go and get, you know, a Duke Johnson, maybe you can get Chris Carson. Get a James White, maybe you jump into an Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, and you just have to pair a lot of these guys out. I also suggest maybe taking some of the ceiling type of players like a Corey Clement and Nick Chubb. You know, those two right there, Nick Chubb and Corey Clement, I would personally love to have on all my teams because I think the upside is huge. I just wouldn't want them in a starting capacity. I'd like them to be off the bench where I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay dividends later if I have them and have more assured options. The lack of reassurance has been one of the biggest problems I'm getting into with drafts right now. And why does it feel less stable than years before?
It's really not. I think the reason it feels less stable is because you at least had like your 14 guys, 15 guys that look, that's the running back. Yeah. That's it. And now we even had this report coming out that you've been mentioning about how Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray could wind up splitting carries. And Dalvin Cook is a borderline first round pick. He is at that, you know, 11 to 15 type.
So let's talk about that. That's a perfect transition here. According to Chris Thomason of St. Paul Pioneer Press, this was on Friday. Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray could split a good bit of the rushing load this season. Coach Zimmer said it's too early to think about how carries will be distributed, though he said both will be factors. So then they go on to talk about a lot of that stuff. We kind of touched on that with Sigmund Bloom on last week's episode over at Endless League Fantasy Football. And Sigmund has been, like, I noticed him jumping on a lot of tweets, kind of defending, saying, you know, Minnesota had 450 rushing plays last season. There's plenty to go around for both, which I kind of think is true.
Yeah.
But you can admit here, especially you're a big Dalvin Cook guy as well. When you look at the top 12 running backs here, is there anybody that is a situation like what we're talking about right now that wouldn't worry you? Like, there's only two guys I look at. I'm just looking at Fantasy Pros, by the way. They're top 12. Or maybe there's three. Devontae Freeman at 12 has kind of a share with Tevin Coleman, but we know exactly what that is. And he's
we know his role.
And he's not in the same tier to me. Christian McCaffrey, we know what that is, but we know exactly where he sits in the pass game. Whatever regardless of what you think, Bogman, if CJ Anderson is like what Jonathan Stewart was last year or better, we still know Christian McCaffrey can be really successful because of how he is as a pass catcher. I have
Cook over McCaffrey in my rankings anyway.
Yeah. So then the other one outside of Cook is Alvin Kamara. Same thing. There's a key to all three of those guys. Those are all pass heavy type of running backs. Devontae Freeman can be a guy, but he catches the ball. And Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey were monsters at catching the ball. So then you throw Dalvin Cook in here. You don't have Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon, Saquon Barkley, Elliott, Johnson, Gurley, Bell, Fournette. You don't have any of those guys with any of this stupid share conversation going on. But now a guy like Dalvin Cook, who's going in the first round, they're saying could be in a split situation with Latavius Murray. Should that create concern?
No, not to me. Because I think that they are going to, they're going to share carries, of course. I think when Cook is tired, he's going to give way to Latavius Murray. He's the immediate backup. I think no one's going to be surprised by that. But I also think that Minnesota is a team that is going to get up on some people. Their offense should be, I don't know if it'll be better because it was pretty damn good with Case Keenum last year, but it should still be very good. And they'll be beating some people down. And when they're ahead in the fourth quarter, bring it. It's just like how Derrick Henry worked with DeMarco Murray last year, where he's the closer.
Yeah, but they ate each other up.
I think, yes, but I think at the end of the season, I guess I should say, is more what you saw with Derrick Henry, where Latavius Murray is going to be the closer. They're up in the fourth quarter by 10 points or more. We don't want to run Dalvin Cook in the ground for the playoffs at the end of the season and all that stuff. Last year he was hurt. Let's bring in Latavius Murray. Let him get his, 10 to 15 carries at the end of the game to grind the clock out. I don't know if they're going to be effective carries, number one, and I don't know if he's going to be punching it in all that much. I just think Dalvin Cook is so much more skilled than Latavius Murray.
But
would you want to take that dude off?
But we've seen so many times in the NFL where teams don't just look and say, well, he's the most skilled guy, give him everything. They don't. They go to allegiance. But also, there's a new change in running backs. I'm not with you that Latavius Murray is just like the spell back. Okay, he needs a breather here, so let's get him in. When I hear this type of stuff, I start to think
because
of series.
Because the Pioneer said it?
Not just because the Pioneer, but you think about it, I think this is a series conversation about series of plays. So we're going to talk more about it. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League, Bogman of the Welsh. We're talking about this, more, love, hate. We got all of it, so don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In This League.
Break it down.
Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. Gotta love that. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. We're back, and obviously on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. You can tweet at us anytime if you guys have questions. You've got draft prep stuff. Obviously, you can go check out all the podcasts, InThisLeague.com. And if you want to get really down with it, check out patreon.com/ITL Army. So when we were going to break, we were talking about the Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray situation. Now, you made an interesting point where I was, talking about the breakdown of carries, and fairly enough, you say, oh, because the Pioneer Press says it. No, there are multiple sources that have been coming out. It's not just been the Pioneer Press. There's been
who's
multiple
the other source?
Because
I haven't.
Have them
that's
in front
all
of
I've seen.
I know. I've seen three of. I've told you. Okay. Sigmund Bloom was going on about this. Roto World had a report earlier in the week about it, and then there's a beat report. A couple beat reporters were talking about it. Multiple teams have been talking about this. I think or places. I think from a logic standpoint, Dalvin Cook coming off of that injury, it makes sense. Now, second half of the season. Could Dalvin Cook be the 25 carries in Latavius Murray too? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But if the team see Latavius Murray is one of these guys, he ruins everything. He's ruined everything for many years. They see him as a quality 12 carry type of guy. What it'll do is it'll allow them to spell Dalvin Cook a little bit, keep his legs a little bit healthy. They're making a Super Bowl run. This is a championship built team. Why would they want to run a rookie running back into the ground that just got severely injured last season when they have two very capable backs? This is not to say, to Sigmund's point, it's not to say that Dalvin Cook can't succeed if it's in a share.
Right.
But I think a lot of people look, and just finishing, a lot of people look at Dalvin Cook and they see Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt and Melvin Gordon. What if that's not the situation? What if they're spelling different series with it and Dalvin Cook is a 18 carry guy with some catches? It can be efficient, but if you're overreaching on him, that could be the problem. The last thing I would say, Bogman, and you can jump into it, everything I just said is still kind of a moot point, because if I have him at 10, I still think, even if he's 18 carries and a couple catches, I value that over Devontae Freeman, Jerick McKinnon, Joe Mixon. So he doesn't move to me, but if people are starting to like reach higher and you're taking Cook over Fournette or Melvin Gordon, I think that's a severe mistake.
And I don't think anyone's doing that. That was going to be my point.
Well, someone has him at 4, by the way, in their rankings.
Well, come on. People are ridiculous all over the place. So I love Dalvin Cook. And like I said, everyone knows my stance on Christian McCaffrey because I'm high on McCaffrey. And I've been higher on Cook than I am on McCaffrey, even coming off the injury. And I don't think that, you know, Dalvin Cook is not a guy that should carry the ball 30 times a game. So I think there was always a plan to put Latavius Murray in there. And I don't think that you run Cook into the ground if you run him when the game is close. You know what I mean? Some games that's going to be, look, he gets the full workload. He's the best guy out there. He's the guy that we need to lean on. Some games it's going to be like, well, we're beating the tar out of Tampa Bay. So, you know, second half, Latavius Murray is going to get 20 carries to Cook's 5.
So
you know what I mean?
You're bringing up an interesting point here to think about, because like I said before, like I'm not out on, like, I'm not going to not take Dalvin Cook because of all this. But I think when you take a running back, and especially if you double tap first and second round, you take those running backs, I think you're built this sense of maybe it's a false security type of thing. Maybe Dalvin Cook is not someone to feel so secure about. But yeah, right. I know that. But what if, you know, we've talked about, take Melvin Ingram, for instance. Melvin Ingram is going to miss a 4 games. But when he comes back, I think he vaults himself Mark Ingram vaults himself up inside easily the top 20, maybe top 15 of running backs in a PPR format when he's back. So a common strategy is take Melvin Ingram, and Sigmund talked about this. Why do I keep saying Melvin Ingram?
I don't know, because we're doing IDP drafts right now.
Because I own Melvin Ingram in the IDP, that's why. Mark Ingram, I don't own Mark Ingram anywhere. But Mark Ingram, you take him, and then a little bit later, you take a Chris Carson, or you take a Peyton Barber, or Jamal Williams. You take a guy to kind of bridge that gap. I'm not saying you need a guy to bridge the gap, but what if you are in a situation where you want to make sure you're taking some of those floor backs a little bit later?
I just don't think there are many floor backs is the problem.
Floor backs, I mean, like, let me rephrase it then.
Because, like, is that Lamar Miller?
No,
we just talked about he might lose his job.
It's later. It's I'm talking about guys that maybe Frank Gore, Isaiah Crowell, maybe it's Chris Carson for early. You're trying to...
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde. What I'm saying is Dalvin Cook being taken in the first round or in the late second round builds a sense of security that I am so set at my running backs. But what if what you just mentioned, what if it's an up and down situation? Well, you know, what if this is a Kareem Hunt situation with him? What if he falls off for a couple games? You know, how are people going to react? I guess I'm talking about preparation in knowing that Dalvin Cook is not that other tier. The guys that he's next to, he is not those guys to me. He is not Leonard Fournette. He is not Melvin Gordon. He is not Kareem Hunt. It's a different tier of a player, and we're starting to get a lot of those.
A couple things.
He's like Jerick McKinnon at this point.
I don't agree with that, because I think Cook can take 25 to 30 carries if you need him to. I don't think that you want him to, and I think he can be effective with fewer carries. The dude is so explosive. You go and watch his highlights from Florida State. He's incredible. And he says he feels better after the knee surgery than he did coming into the league last year. So that means maybe he was dragging around that knee to start it or something. Dalvin Cook is just a great back no matter what way you cut it. I agree with you. He's not as safe as Leonard Fournette, because we know the game script in Jacksonville, because Blake Bortles isn't that great, is, yeah, give the ball to Fournette as much as you possibly can and wear him out.
Do you want to hear some guys, by the way, that have him inside the top higher than 10?
Who has him higher than 10?
Like, what do you think? Like, 10 is, I think that's his average, by the way. I think he's, yeah, he goes off consensus as the 10th running back, overall 13th. That's his happy place.
Who has him at 4 is what I want to know. And when you're putting him at 4, are you putting him ahead of David Johnson or Ezekiel Elliott? Or is Le'Veon Bell falling because he hasn't shown up?
You know what I like about Fantasy Pros, by the way, is they have a thing where it shows how the person finished last season and it ranks them like that. So the guy who has 4, I'm not seeing, but I am seeing one person down here. Kyle Richardson from Roto Baller has him at 5 this season.
5.
So does Derek Brown from Gridiron Experts. We interviewed Derek Brown. Has him at 5.
I love Dalvin Cook. I just don't think I can put him at 5.
Let's see.
You putting him ahead of Kamara and Barkley?
I'm gonna list off some more of the highs, and then there's actually a couple lows that are really interesting. Because I think like 8 and higher, you're making a statement. Pierre Camus from Roto Baller really likes Dalvin Cook because he's from Roto Baller, has him at 7. I saw a couple others. There's a couple others you'll like. Where did it go? Our guy, here's one. Heath Cummings, CBS.
Heath Cummings.
Yeah, Keith Hummings. That's a good alter ego.
Keith Hummings.
Our boy Heath has him at 6 overall at running back. Best running back.
So he's ahead of Kamara. Is he ahead of Kamara or Barkley?
I mean, I can't tell. I don't see his rankings.
Oh, okay.
But he has him at 6.
He's ahead of one of them. And yeah, I don't think I can do it. I guess that's the people that are like, you know, because you can knock everybody. But how is he ahead of Melvin Gordon? Right. We barely talked about Melvin Gordon. When we talked about all these running backs. You just called him Melvin. You called Mark Ingram. Oh, so you didn't. Never mind. I just screwed something up, too. So Melvin Gordon, we haven't even talked about. How can you put Melvin Gordon? How can you put Cook ahead of Melvin Gordon? I just couldn't do it. I'm with you. I see that tier of you know, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Elliott, Johnson, Barkley, Kamara, Gordon. And then after that, I would put Cook in with Hunt, Fournette, McCaffrey. I've got Cook ahead of Fournette because Fournette does have an injury history.
I'm looking here.
I know Cook missed the whole year last year, but I think he's okay now. So, but Fournette will, like, I firmly believe, and I love Fournette. I own him all over the place. He'll play you 13 games a year. Like, he's going to miss 3 games. It's just going to happen with his ankle flaring up again.
So one of the lowest rankings, like, people dabble between, like I said, 8.
I got him at 9.
You got him at 9? I'd have to pull up my ranks. I have him somewhere in that facility.
Yeah, I got him at 9. I knew I had him close.
I don't kill 9. I'm not going to kill anything, by the way. Anyone can do whatever the hell they want. It's just part of the conversation. And, you know, we've always preached with this entire process, like, we might be like, I don't know how you do it. There's a lot of smart people out there. Some people are going to hit it. Some people are going to be wrong. It's part of the process. But I think what's fascinating about it is doing the research and, you know, finding your happy medium. Sometimes you see sites that are on a specific way. Sometimes, you know, whether it's a drafting site like a Yahoo or ESPN, or you're looking at a place like Roto Experts, or you're looking at Pro Football Focus. So I don't care.
Let me ask you this.
Okay. I've got a really low one for you here in a minute.
Okay. Between Hunt, Cook, and Fournette, those guys are usually going in the same area.
That would be
who has the biggest chance to completely bottom out?
Yeah, my order is actually Hunt, Fournette, Cook. Who has a chance to completely bottom out?
Lose their job. I don't think any of them do. Neither do you. But if you had to pick one, would it be Cook or would it be Hunt?
Here's my problem.
Because I don't think it's Fournette.
That's a great. It's not Fournette. That's a great question, because I know I was a big Dalvin Cook guy coming in his rookie year, and then he got hurt. Kareem Hunt kind of came on the scene a bit, but he also like led the freaking league in rushing last year. But he's a super popular crap on player right now. I want to say, I feel like I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook, but I bet if we put this to a poll, I bet Kareem Hunt would get the win on the
vote.
And
to be honest, it's kind of pointless because no one's going to move these guys out of the first round.
No, but it's more about preference. It would be like you're now taking Dalvin Cook. And maybe that's where some of this comes from, by the way. People that are running their projections, that's why they're going to move a guy like Dalvin Cook above a player like Kareem Hunt. The bottom out is more of the problem where I get like, hey, listen, I'm not with Heath. Dalvin Cook is number six for a couple reasons I've kind of laid out, but that doesn't mean it's crazy. There's one on here that I think is really low. Would you say running back 15 is really low for Dalvin Cook?
That's pretty low.
Rudy Gamble from Razzball has him at 15.
I would like to know. So,
but Rudy is a projection master. So based on his projections, that's where he lays out. There's a couple other that have him at 13. I think it's the lowest I saw, by the way. It was 15. There might have been a 16.
I'm kind of surprised it's not lower than 15 because it is low for what he is, but I'm kind of surprised that that's the lowest because he's coming off the injury. People like Latavius Murray, you know, I'm surprised that that's the lowest.
From last year, I'm looking here, of rankers inside the top 25 that finished, you know, within the top 25, there's only one person that has Dalvin Cook higher at 8. Like, no one has him higher, and no one has him lower than 11. So the person who finished 4th last year, Sean Corner from the Action Network, has him at 11. That's the lowest inside of the guys that finished in the top 25 last year.
Of
the good rankers. And Ken Zales from PressBox has him at 8. And he finished 15th last year. Everyone else, 10. Or there's a couple nines that are... two nines spattered in there.
Two nines
spattered in there. Every other single... number one, number three, number four... number six.
Spattering of nines.
Yeah, all those guys. All those guys have them. I mean, the top 10 is literally, actually, the top 10, every single one of them that ranked Dalvin Cook, I guess apparently there's a couple of people that didn't anymore, besides Sean, have him at 10. That's his happy place.
Yeah, and that's, I think, between 9 and 11, like you just said, that's probably.
And you're not worried about Latavius Murray? If any, no. Okay. Handcuff conversation.
I just think that Cook can be effective without having 20 carries anyway.
Do you think you should have Latavius Murray if you draft Dalvin Cook?
No.
Not at all.
I don't think that he's a necessary handcuff. If you're deep enough to do it, fine. Like, you know, a lot of these IDP drafts will have 30 rounds and a bunch of people won't stock up on IDPs and they'll fill in with backup running backs because they're so pathetic or right at the end of the draft. I'll grab anybody, you know, give me Chase Edmonds. So, you know, they'll take whoever it is on the wire, like, you know, it's crack rocks laying out there. So I think if you're in a league like that, that's fine. But if you have your normal 6 bench spots, 5 bench spots, I'm not doubling up with Latavius Murray. No. I'm
trying to think of like who like a super down there running back that be like, OK, you would rather have Nyheim Hines than you would Latavius Murray if you owned
in a PPR.
Cook.
I would.
And what about standard?
Standard, I'd rather have Latavius Murray. I think he'll see the end zone more than Hines will. But I think Hines can catch the ball, and they've already been lining him up in the slot. I know he didn't look good in his first preseason game, but for God's sakes, people, this is his first preseason game.
Where do you think Latavius Murray is ranked among running backs?
50s.
In PPR?
50s.
You're right, 56. Would you like to take a guess or me surprise you some players that are below him?
Why don't you just let me hear him?
Okay. First player that these are all players consensus rank wise below Latavius Murray,
and this is PPR, right?
PPR.
Okay.
Frank Gore.
No, I would rather have Gore.
Deontay Foreman.
Foreman, easy.
Kalen Ballage.
I'll take Ballage.
LeGarrette Blount.
I'll take Blount.
Doug Martin.
Give me Dougie.
I'm going to move around a little bit. Buck Allen and Kenneth Dixon.
I take Buck Allen.
Boy, you hate Latavius Murray. Spencer Ware.
I got him at 66.
Spencer Ware.
I have him one spot below Spencer Ware.
Yeah, you're 10 running backs below.
Well,
him.
I just think that all these guys, you know, I have Jordan Wilkins ahead of him. Jordan Wilkins has a real chance to start.
I'm with you on that. I'm in on Jordan Wilkins a lot.
You know, I got Blunt ahead of him. Blunt's going to get goal line work. You know, I think Latavius Murray could get goal
line. Latavius Murray or Bilal Powell?
Latavius Murray.
Oh, you're a scumbag. What a dirty scumbag you are for your ball. I hope Bilal Powell takes that job.
I did. It's not going to happen. Stop it. Look, Fetch is not going to happen. All right. So stop it. I actually do have Powell ranked ahead of him. So I just said,
you're gonna change it
I
now?
Just said Murray to give you crap here. So
Devontae Booker or Latavius Murray?
Murray.
I think it might be Murray too. I was banking on that Devontae Booker train for a bit, but I think Royce Freeman's running away.
Royce Freeman looked good in that first preseason game.
He looked very, very good. All right, when we come back, we are going to tell. We've been teasing this through some
of
the show.
We're actually going to do it.
Matthew Berry has a very, very popular article. He's been doing for years. One of the best, you know, fantasy sports minds out there. Well, he made a pretty big announcement on said article. That it was coming to an end. Love, hate, coming to an end. So let's talk about that. We're going to talk about Matthew Berry a little bit, just in his impact in the industry. And let's pick it apart, because that's what we do. That's why Bogman and I don't write, because you can't pick anything apart from us. So we're going to pick apart stuff from other people, say what we love and hate from that article. So don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. We'll be back.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League
in the dark.
If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. You know what that was, Bogman? That was a mic drop. That read was beautimous. I was
you did
struggling
say builders
this show.
Instead of builders, but
what did I say? I said,
you said builders instead of builders.
Builders,
I like a you, builders. Our buddy Cornell DM me. He said, got to hang out at the entrance of the Rockies clubhouse last night. I thought about trying to trip Story and Arenado on their way out for you guys. So
that'd have been great.
I thought that was pretty funny. You know what my response was?
What?
It would have worked on David Dahl.
Just breathe on him and he's out for a while.
He should
have got a video with Charlie Blackman. Blackman's kind of our mascot. So, see, I thought I struggle doing those live reads sometimes. And I thought I nailed that one.
They were eating me up last week when you weren't here.
Not easy, right?
I'm like, I'm going to kill these.
Yeah, you're like, Chris is stupid. Like, I got these. I should do these more.
Murder these. And I think the first one and the last one really got me. the second and third, I was pretty good.
A little editing in there?
No, I didn't edit them. I left it in there.
You let the pain soak in?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, look, just, got to stand behind your work, even if it's not good. So.
All right. Well, there you go. So, Matthew Berry. A very popular name in the industry, though I definitely think it just kind of it becomes that millennial talk. Like, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but like, how many people do you think use Matthew Berry now compared to 10 years ago? Because I would say that's probably 70% less.
Well, that's not even a millennial thing. That's just way more options out there.
Yeah, it's probably more about the options, because I think Matthew Berry's fascinating to me and everything that he's done. And, you know, we've worked or have friends and people in the industry that have like worked with him in different paths when he used to work over at Roto World. And, you know, he's done so much. He's the biggest shining star of this kind of like he made fantasy relevant to a very large degree. Obviously, you know, the sport itself and the acceptance among athletes and major networks did a big part in that. But he's written books and had lines of stuff. And he was just kind of the guy that did most of the stuff first. And good for him. He's a nice guy. I've chatted with him on emails about some stuff, except ESPN's ridiculously dumbass thing, which, by the way, I'll just put this out there. It is asinine. They have this podcast policy where they don't let ESPN personalities go on any other podcast except when ESPN gives them written approval, because it's a podcast that is like, you know, number one in the iTunes ranks. It's crazy. I don't even know how much it's still real, but it is a big thing, and I think it still goes on. It's a ridiculous policy that those people have.
I remember like my moment of like true respect came from Matthew Berry when he was doing one of those, you know, how they always do the fantasy 24 hours or whatever it is leading up to the, I think it's the first big weekend, like last weekend of drafts and things like that. And someone was interviewing him and he's like, I just can't believe, and I don't even remember who it is, but we know Matthew Berry gets to talk to these players all the time now. He works for ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, they'll come up and see him.
Probably texting him.
I can't remember who it was they were talking about. I wish I could remember who it was.
But it'd make for great radio if you could.
He goes, yeah, thanks. Put myself out there with a story. So way to ruin it for everybody. And he just goes, he sucks, dude. He just is never, ever going to be any good. And I was like, oh, my God.
He probably knows that guy.
You could probably run into this dude in a couple of weeks and you're talking about it. Like, that's going to get back to him.
By the way,
I mean, it was before Twitter was huge or anything, because obviously it was a long time ago. I was watching ESPN, but it was.
Remember when you used to watch ESPN?
Like all the time.
Man. I remember actively.
Remember when they
just
talked about sports? You remember that?
Yeah, I don't. And you know what I don't remember? The last time I sat down and watched ESPN that didn't have a game on.
Yeah, it's college football for me, man. That's like ESPN. It gets college football. It gets Sunday night baseball, and you know, Monday night football. That's all they get.
So, by the way, I don't know. I think I might have had ESPN on, or maybe it was like one of those videos that airs on, like, you know, when you're reading an article or something. Maybe it was when I was checking out the Love Hate. I don't know what it was.
You know what? It'd be really great if you could figure out when that was.
Yeah. I'll look into it. It'd make a better radio if it would. That's a good point. This commercial comes on and it's about the, you know, they just did, like you just talked about, they did the 24 hour thing, you know, like 28 hours or whatever of
yeah,
full
it was like
fantasy.
Him and Carabelle, right.
Yeah. And then he has his fantasy show. It's a commercial for the TV show. So he's standing there and it's like, you know, whatever it is, the camera's coming in, and one of his producers, I don't know any of the people, by the way, I don't know any of the people that he works with except Field Yates, but this is like one of the producers. The guy walks in with his shirt off and he's got a bunch of tattoos on and he's got like pasties over his nipples.
Oh.
And he walks up to Matthew Berry and Matthew Berry starts to say something and then he's like, what's going on here? And it's not really good acting. And the other guy, really bad acting, is like, oh, I get like chafed nipples when we do long fantasy stuff. And then they're like, so you got bloody nipples from doing 24 hours of live fantasy? He's like, can you do 20 more? And he's like, I better grease them up. And then Matthew Berry, he does like this look at the camera where I was like, oh boy, this is cringeworthy. And then he walks away. And then the guy gets a stick with like some Vaseline and puts it on the nipple thing. And I was like, what the Christ did I just watch? It's the worst. Come on. ESPN, who makes some of the most memorable commercials with all their Sports Center commercials. I there's thousands you can remember. I looked at this and I was like, who let this happen? This is they think they're being really funny and self-deprecating. It was cringeworthy, the performances and what they did. I was like, this is why ESPN is suffering.
We've had a bunch of sexual harassment lawsuits. Why don't we talk about nipples 35 times in this commercial.
Dude, I'm telling you, like try to find it. It is so embarrassing. It is so unbelievably embarrassing. So aside all that, all the crapping we just did, that Matthew Berry announced he's always done his love-hate article, which he does two very, very memorable articles that, I mean, I'll even lock into every year when I see it. Like, and I'm not, again, I don't need to follow anybody else's fantasy advice because we've covered it for so long. And frankly, I don't like to see really anything anyone says. But I've looked at the love-hate article and the 100 facts.
The 100 facts is my favorite.
That's actually probably my favorite, by the way. But I always like glancing and looking at the love-hate. So, but I actually, I'll be honest with you too, I never read the stuff before the love-hate because it's too much.
Well, it's like a novel and a half this time because it's a swan song. I didn't do it either.
So that's what he goes through this whole thing about how it's his last one. And you can read it where they came to the decision and whatever. And you can tell me what is in there because I didn't read it. All I know is it's his last love hate that he's going to do. And, you know, it's always weird end of an era of type of stuff. But he also mentions like he's going to be doing it on his podcast or his show. So it's not ending just the written form. Because this thing probably takes him like 2 weeks to write because it takes like a week to read. So no more love hate. Are you sad about it? Do you love or hate that there's no more love hate?
To be honest, I don't really care. Like the 100 facts is the thing that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like I the love hate is interesting. I always love to see Matthew Berry's opinions because he's been around so long. He's very, very smart.
But you hate the takes.
Well respected. But to be honest, it's not something that I look at from week to week. So it's fine to me.
I'm not sure even when I used to read it, like I ever was like, oh, OK, well, you know, Matthew Berry loves this guy. So obviously I'm in. So there's
talked into stuff. I think everybody can be talked into stuff. So it's nice to see, you know, a different point of view. But I just, you know,
I talked you into Bilal Powell over Isaiah Crowell earlier.
No, you didn't.
I did. I mean,
no, you're making that up. That's fake news.
We'll come back. It's just false. It's fake news. I'm telling you, it's true. It's I gave you the great point of Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart.
Depth charts.
No. Yeah. Well, he's on there. That they don't love him. That's what I was getting at. All right. So let's look at this. There. We went through the love hates. There's a lot of stuff in there. You obviously know where you can go check it out. But we both picked a few in the love and hate that we do not love. That we hate a lot more. Bogman, I'll just jump in on one of these. Under the hate, he put Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, so you're going to just take my Steelers one.
Sorry. That's the one that jumps out to me. But in defense, we did our quarterback ranks episode over at In This League on the football podcast side. I've been a defender of Ben Roethlisberger. I think the weapons he has is some of the better weapons in a long time. Yeah, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington is a beast. Lev Bell is going to ball out this year. And Vance McDonald, whatever, it doesn't matter. Ben Roethlisberger, he's built to throw. I mean, that's about all he's built for, and falling down and not getting concussions on his big dumb head. And he's got great receiving options. The defense in the article talks about the home road splits, which it's just... I'll be a dummy with it. I can't fathom where we talk a home road splits with a quarterback. I feel like we're talking about starting pitchers in baseball. It's weird to me. I'm going to go on the side of the weapons. So to designate a guy that's going between 9 and 11 at quarterback when you can wait to claim as a hate, I don't buy it. I mean, maybe if you got great arguments for the guys that are below or that are lower that are going to just make such a big movement. Like I moved Andrew Luck above Ben Roethlisberger. That's fine. But to designate as a hate, I'm not with it.
Well, and especially with the fact with Ben Roethlisberger, like if you watch the defense play last night, they looked absolutely horrific. They let Green Bay score 51 points. Green Bay's a good offense. But, you know, for most of the game, it was Brett Hundley out there, not Aaron Rodgers. So, and I know a couple of that was pick sixes from Mason Rudolph as well, but I just don't think that Pittsburgh's defense is going to play as well as it has the last couple seasons. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's going to have to play some catch up ball or keep pace ball at least. So I also particularly didn't like that one.
All right. So what's your pick?
The love of Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. Easy. He's still got great weapons with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and all that stuff. But the defense in New Orleans is pretty solid. It's like this is the opposite problem that that Ben Roethlisberger is going to run into.
The defense is so good that it's going to keep him off the field?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to keep him off the field or keep them grinding the clock out. You know, hand the ball to Mark Ingram, you know, throw short passes, things of that nature. Play a little bit of ball control, which is what they did last year. Now, Drew Brees is still going to be, upper echelon, probably QB1. But I'm thinking he's more of a, 12 to 13 type of a guy probably than a, top five type of a quarterback. So I'm not in on Drew Brees love, even though, at any point, couple things fall apart in the defense. And if they need Drew Brees to throw for that much, he definitely can. I just wouldn't bank on it for this.
Did you jump Luck over Brees?
Ooh, that was real close. I think I did. Yeah, okay. I think I did.
All right, let's go with your next one. Which love or hate are you out on?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit ad nauseum, but the love of Devin Funchess. I don't understand that. Devin Funchess is, because I think DJ Moore comes in as the number one wide receiver option. I still think McCaffrey is number one receiving option, and Greg Olsen is around too. So how is Devin Funchess going to get better? You know what I mean? He doesn't run particularly great routes. He is a red zone threat. So I like him in that situation because he's big. I mean, the dude played tight end in college. Or he was listed as a tight end, kind of a split end type of a guy. But either way, I'm not a Devin Funchess believer, especially with Carolina, with all the receiving options and knowing that Cam Newton likes to run the ball. Maybe he'll do a little bit less this year, but Devin Funchess I didn't like either.
All right. The other two here, one is a like and one is a dislike. I'm not, and this is a me one, and I don't blame this one. This is just, it just jumps out to me. It's the Chris Hogan love thing. And I think I could be wrong. We talked about this multiple times on the podcast as well. And I think in the last episode, you and I had discussed this where, like, I'm okay. Maybe this was the Black Book. I'm okay if Chris Hogan is good. And I'm okay being the one that doesn't own the shares. If he wants to end up being good, I can live with it. But I'm just not going to go and invest. You've got Gronk. You've got a litany of running backs. Julian Edelman is going to come back. They brought Eric Decker in. I know Hogan has, I know he has a connection, but I'm not in on where the price point is right now because it's continuing to move up. So I'm not in on the love, and I could be wrong. The hate that he had in there of T.Y. Hilton, I'm far off from. If anything, you and I have been skyrocketing T.Y. Hilton's value with Andrew Luck coming back. I think he's going to be a huge beneficiary, and I think he could be top five in the NFL in receiving yards this year. I think it's a resurgence of T.Y. Hilton. So the hate, I'm not in it on all.
Yeah, I mean, especially T.Y. Hilton with Andrew Luck looking so good.
What's your last one?
Marvin Jones. I've just always liked
Did
Marvin
he love
Jones.
Or hate?
He hated Marvin Jones. So I've been in on Marvin Jones. The last three seasons, he's got better each year. And 2 years in a row with Detroit, he's improved his numbers. 9 touchdowns last year, 1,100 yards. I know a lot of people are in on Kenny Golladay. Golden Tate is super consistent as well. I just don't know how much Kenny Golladay sees the field. Maybe a little bit more because they're missing Eric Ebron. They don't really have a great receiving tight end. So maybe he does too, but I don't think that means it's going to be at the cost of Marvin Jones. So I'm still all the way in on Marvin Jones.
Out on the love hate. It goes away. Bye-bye. 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 As we end the show here, we're in multiple slow drafts. We've got a couple more that are coming up. We've been doing a whole bunch of other stuff. We've only got like about a minute. Is there someone that you don't have any investment on that you're dying to get right now? Because I've got one. I know.
Dying to get. Okay. I don't think I do, but since I got McCaffrey in my most recent draft.
Yeah, you had McCaffrey. And I think Cooks, and you just Cooks. Got your first share. You know who I'm dying to get an investment on that I don't think I have? I don't even think I have in any best balls right now. Royce Freeman.
Oh, okay.
I want shares of Royce Freeman.
He's going to cost you now.
He does, and it sucks. It sucks. I might have him in one best ball. We've done some over for the Fan Track show, and we did some for In This League over there. I'm going to have to go back and look. I really want to get an investment. I wish I could get him at like a half decent price in any other spot, and I just fourth can't round. Right now.
Going to have to be the fourth round, man. That's where he's going.
I know. There's just
looking good.
Too many good wide receivers sit out there when I get other running backs, so that's a player that I'm going to be looking for. Can't think of any?
Not really. I think I've gotten at least one
Dalvin
share
Cook.
Of all my guys that I like.
Bogman
I haven't.
Dalvin.
You know what? I haven't got any Dalvin Cook. I'd love to have Dalvin.
And Bilal Powell, of course. He wants some shares of Bilal Powell. So, all right.
No shares of Bilal Powell. Stop doing that.
There you go. That's the show. Check us out at InThisLeague.com. Check out the pods on iTunes. Just search In This League wherever you are, and you will find us. We are walking beside you, my friends, on the beach. Wherever you are, we are there. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Have a great weekend.